We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 20 today. Isaiah chapter 20, which is a very short chapter. It's only 6 verses, but it is power-packed with one of the most dynamic threads of teaching in the whole Bible. And it has to do with this song we just sang. His love never fails. He never gives up on us. And it is just so neat that how in this small chapter in Isaiah that is so evident to us. And so we want to turn to that scripture, Isaiah chapter 20. And we're going to be looking at this. Before we start reading the word, I just wanted to say a couple of things about our trip to see the Dead Sea Scrolls coming up. That trip is already closed. We have 2 full buses going. So 114 people signed up, and they already paid their money it was May 17th was the deadline. So we just need to share with you that the trip is closed. I'm so sorry, but we just had to buy the tickets in advance with those guys in the museum, you know, and then also get the buses in advance. So that deadline that we gave you was real this time. I know for men's retreats and women's retreats, sometimes the deadlines are just ho-hum, we'll pay later. But we had to just close it. And so, anyway, the good side of it is we're going. And so 8:30 in the morning, we want to be here that day. I want to speak to you just a second about lunch, because there are restaurants to buy lunch, and you can bring some money and buy lunch if you'd like. Or you can do like Sherry and I are going to do. We're going to bring our lunch. And it's so much nicer for us. We just got off vacation, so I'm so done with restaurants. You know what I'm saying? So we're just going to bring a sandwich and stuff. You leave it on the bus. The bus stays with us all day. So this is the plan. So we get there, and 50 of us, one of the buses, we go into the 3D thing of the new of Jerusalem, the IMAX deal. And then the second bus goes straight to the artifacts, the big 3-ton rock from the Western Wall of Israel, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the artifacts, 600 artifacts for you to look at. So then at 12 o'clock, we switch. The other bus comes back and goes into the IMAX, because it can't take more than 50 at a time, so bam. And then the other 50 that just saw the IMAX, they go into the artifacts. So then at 1 o'clock, we're off for lunch. You go downstairs, you get something to eat, you go back to the bus and get your lunch. And then at 2 o'clock, we meet again to go and see the Endeavor, the space shuttle, which is, I'm really looking forward to that. And then at 3 o'clock, we're back at the bus. Okay, can we say that together? 3 o'clock, we're back at the bus. Okay, don't be late. Okay, I'm going to talk today to the powers that be and see if we can't do the numbering system like we do in Israel. It's so fun. We just get a number. You say 1, the next person says 2 on the bus. And you go all the way through the bus. So then when everybody's gathered back on the bus again, we go through the numbering system. We go, oh, number 18 is still in the bathroom. Right? So we know somebody's missing, okay? So we're going to try to do that. Anyway, that's basically in a nutshell the plan. And so there it is. And I do want to remember, too, that we're doing donuts and coffee now. We're going to try you on this and see if you're okay. Between services, donuts and coffee. And today we're going to do donuts and coffee after the service for your fellowship's sake. And, you know, if you get too fat, I'm going to have to call this thing off. No, I'm kidding. We all have to go with our own consciences on that, right? I was planning to eat donuts between the services, but you know what? The Lord stopped me here in the sanctuary, and I never got back there. So I'm hearing the message. Okay, so here we go. Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 1. And so in Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1, we read this, in the year of Tartan. Now, Tartan is not a guy or a girl. Tartan is a title. It means chief and commander. And this happens to be the chief and commander of the Assyrian Empire. Came unto Ashdod. Ashdod is one of the 5 of the largest cities of the Philistines. And it's located on the Gaza Strip. As you hear about the Gaza Strip in the news, It's like the Palestinians live there now. These were Philistine cities, Ashdod. And so that's what that is. So in the year that Tartan, the chief commander of the Assyrian Empire, came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. Now Sargon, this is the only place in the entire Bible that Sargon is mentioned. And so for years and years, the Bible critics would say, this guy Sargon never lived, never did. He's only mentioned once in the Bible. Well, how many times does God have to mention him? And so we dismiss that idea, and therefore the Bible is not perfect, it's not correct. Until in the 1800s, 1899, a group of archaeologists came to the area of Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and they dug it up. And they found the gates of Nineveh, and they also found an extensive history of the deeds and the life of Sargon, proving the Bible to be right again. Hallelujah. Never can prove it wrong. Praise God. All right. So in the year of Tartan, it came to Ashdod when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. Now, we found out that Sargon's reign was from 722 BC to 705 BC with that extensive history. Now we go on to verse 2, and it says now in verse 2, at the same time spoke the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off your loins and put off your shoe or your sandals from your foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Now I was upset with that verse there of poor Isaiah. What a call to walk naked and barefoot. Pastor Chuck tells me that he had on a simple tunic underneath. He wasn't stark naked. And I went, phew, on that one. Now, it still might be true that he was naked and barefoot, but if that's the truth, then that's okay, because it's God's word, and that's what God told him to do. It's kind of like when David danced before the Ark of the Covenant when he brought it home to Israel, and his wife Michelle got so upset with him for putting off his royal robes and so making room, actually, so he could dance with all of his might before the Lord. And so we there were expressed that he was dancing in a little tunic situation. And so it could be this same thing going on here. We're not sure, but there it is. Now, sackcloth. Sackcloth is like a burlap bag, very rough, itchy, and terrible to wear. And the prophets would wear the sackcloth in order to humiliate themselves before the Lord and to really express that ministry to the Lord as being really dying to self. And they would make this sackcloth out of camel's skin. And the hard part of the camel was worn on the inside. Oh man, I don't know if you've ever seen a camel. They are gnarly dudes. And their skin is like, you know, just tough and rough, and the hair is like pinprickles that are thick. And so anyway, so they would wear the hard part of the skin on the inside so that it would be worse on their bodies, you know, denying the flesh kind of idea. And so he was at this point now to take off that garment that he wore as a prophet and go ahead and have a tunic or less, and walking naked and barefoot. Now, why in the world would the Lord tell him to do such a thing? Well, it says in verse 3, and the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years. Now, this is then taking it 3 years later, for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon the Ethiopia. So, you know, Ethiopia is above Egypt. In the old days, Egypt and Ethiopia and Sudan were kind of lumped together. The borders have changed through the years. But anyway, this was a sign. This was a sign in this prophetic type way that the Lord was going to deal with Egypt and Ethiopia in such a way. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot. Now this is the real nakedness. The king of Assyria was a wicked king. All of them were. Sargon was the worst. And they would do unbelievably bad things to the people. And so they were going to take them away captive, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. And so real live nakedness going on there. So in this terrible, humiliating situation for Egypt and Ethiopia. Now, this actually did come to pass. As we look at the historical records, we actually have a quote from the annals of King Sennacherib. In 701 BC, Sennacherib's annals that were found by the archaeologists. He says, quote, and this is a quote directly from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, all those years ago. I fought with the kings of Egypt in accomplishing their overthrow. I captured alive charioteers and the sons of the king. So we have that from history and from the history books and from the archaeologists' finds that this actually happened, what Isaiah was given to write. With that, we'd like to go ahead and let you know that it wasn't strange that God would ask a prophet to do a strange thing. I am so glad that I'm a pastor in the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ and not a prophet of God in the Old Testament. Because Ezekiel was asked to sleep on his side for 1 year. And I'm thinking, man, that's got to be tough. He was to actually preach on his side for 1 whole year. You know, there is my favorite side. Anybody have a favorite side for sleeping? You know, as I get older, things happen in the other positions. I snore when I lay flat, and so that's not good. And Sherry has to buy earplugs. But at least he hasn't moved me to another room like the first Poppy had to actually sleep in his own bedroom. And I'm the second Poppy. So I'm going to snore, but it's okay. Now, and then when I sleep on my other side, my heart goes off. So it's good to sleep on one side. But I don't know if I'd like that call from God as a prophet. Now, Jeremiah actually was told to find a very beautiful robe. So he went out and bought the best dude robe he could get. And he paraded that in front of the people. And then the Lord said to go bury the robe under a rock by the river for months and months. And then the Lord said, now go and get the robe and put it on and parade in front of the people. So he went, and this robe was absolutely scuzzy. That's a word for you, scuzzy. I don't know how to spell it. But it was bad news. It had holes in it. It was ugly. It smelled. And he put it on, and he went before the people. And it was to show that Israel had to was beautiful when God began with Israel, and lovely, and a royal family. And boy, they became so scuzzy when they went to the other gods. And so this was the message of Jeremiah. And so it was dramatically done. So this isn't something strange with the Lord. In the Old Testament with these prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And so there it is. Now we get to the point of this whole chapter for us in a very deep spiritual way, which we see in the New Testament described very clearly, and we're going to go to that in a minute. But let's read verses 5 and 6. It says, they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and Egypt, their glory. This, the Ashdod place on the seacoast there, and along with Israel many times, would put their trust in Egypt. Egypt will help us. Egypt will come to our rescue. And so this is very graphically defined here in the King James translation, Ethiopia, their expectation. They had expectations in their deliverance from the king of Assyria coming through Egypt. Egypt was a very powerful nation. Then it even mentions in Egypt their glory. They were glorying in Egypt, the very place that God had delivered them from bondage. They were glorying in that. And the inhabitant of this isle, which is King James translation, really meaning literally the coastland. The coastland. So, yeah, Gaza, the Gaza Strip's right along the coast of the Mediterranean, and right next to it we have Israel, of course, and so forth. And both of these places made this mistake many times throughout the Bible. And shall say in that day, behold, such is our expectation. Take a look at our expectation. They're being led away captive by the Assyrians. How in the world are they going to help us with the Assyrians? And so they say, such is our expectation, where we flee for help to be delivered. They were fleeing to Egypt and Ethiopia for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria. And how now shall we escape? There is no escape, because we put all of our eggs in one basket. We put our eggs in the basket of Egypt and Ethiopia, but they're goners. King of Assyria just handled them. So how shall we escape? Well, we all know the answer to that question, don't we? Our escape is always, and our help is always, in the Lord. And true enough, we know what happened. It was a miracle. The Lord sent an angel that killed 185,000 Assyrian troops in one night as they attacked Jerusalem. And it was God that delivered Israel from the Assyrian Empire. It was Him. How shall we escape? It's the Lord. So it's something we always need to remember. Now I want to show you, I've kind of said in a quick way that Israel and others always had this bad idea of trying to trust in Egypt. This is how actually their history began after the Egyptian captivity. Let's turn together to Exodus 14 and verse 11. Exodus 14 and verse 11. This is the Red Sea experience. Exodus 14, verse 11. Now, Pharaoh and all of his armies and charioteers were coming after Israel, and Israel was trapped between two mountain ranges, the Red Sea at their back. And so we know that God opened the Red Sea, had them go over on dry ground. Dry ground, it says in the Bible. So it was no kind of 6 inches of water, any of that business. It was dry ground. And then as the Egyptian army chased them through the Red Sea, the waters came and covered them up, and they were all drowned. And so God's deliverance for them at the Red Sea. Well, as this situation was sizing up before God opened the Red Sea and showed His salvation, the people said to Moses, verse 11 of Exodus 14, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? We should have stayed in Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So the people had no faith. Oh no. And they were thinking, we should be back in Egypt. Oh, glorious Egypt. Our deliverance and our escape from death. Oh, no, no, no. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And this is a verse that we have in our living room wall at home. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And we know the rest of the story. Beautiful. What God did in shocking everybody as this huge sea opened up with walls of water on either side. And I love the picture that has a whale in one of the walls swimming by. I love it. It's so cool. It's so cool what God did in this deliverance. Now, with that, we want to turn to the New Testament now and get the spiritual significance of this given to us, not by the pastor, but by the scriptures. What God wants to say to us, the New Testament believers, about all of this. Isaiah chapter 20 and Exodus chapter 14. Well, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the first 10 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the New Testament. It says this, as there's teaching now, as Paul is writing a letter to the church at Corinth and teaching in the Holy Ghost about the Red Sea experience. And he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud," that's the pillar of cloud that was leading them through the wilderness, "and that all passed through the sea," speaking of the Red Sea. They passed through it. They got by it because of God. "And were all baptized." Interesting word used here. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, the pillar of cloud, and in the sea. So see, the sea of that God opened, the Red Sea, is like a type of baptism. They were saved, gloriously saved by God. And they broke out in singing on the other side when all the Egyptians took a bath. And Miriam started with her tambourine, and all the women began to dance before the Lord. And they sang the song of Moses for this deliverance. And so what we see in the spiritual significance then is that baptism is represented in the opening of the Red Sea. "And we did all eat the same spiritual meat, and we did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Jesus was very present in all of this. The salvation of the Lord, the deliverance of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, is what we always rely completely on and go to Him for these problems that arise. He is our expectation, and He is our deliverer, and through Him we escape. Now, what do we escape? Egypt actually represents the flesh, the life of the flesh, and the life of bondage. They were delivered from the life of the flesh and from the life of bondage, and they all the time want to go back. They all the time wanted to rely on the arm of the flesh for their deliverance instead of the mighty arm of the Lord that is stretched out to deliver instead of the Lord. We see the spiritual significance of that. And how does it apply to our lives? Well, let's just read the next 10 or 5 verses. "But with them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now, these things were examples for us about this arm of the flesh thing, "to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Do you know, and I think we all know, that people tend to want to go back to Egypt, to the lust of the flesh. "Oh, I'm so bummed out. I think I'll just go get drunk and drive 100 miles an hour on the freeway." You know, I say that because we had a Sunday school teacher, Sherry and I, when we first got saved, we loved him. Larry was his name. But that's an example that he would use, because he would be tempted to do that. I was thinking, man, that sounds so dangerous. But people just do crazy things to go back to the evil lust of the flesh. Just outrageous things, and think that's somehow going to help. Well, the drugs and the booze, what are they? They're numbifications. They numb you up. and to just try to, you're trying to forget your problems. Never works. It's like going back to Egypt. Keith Green wrote that song so many years ago. So, you want to go back to Egypt? And I want to be back in bondage again to the things that destroyed my life or try to destroy my life. Oh, no, no. We go to the Lord. You know, I heard a really neat thing. Some of these weight losing programs, you know, they say that, you know, you got to get away from using food for comfort. That's one of their deals. You know, you come home, you've had a hard day, you want to kick off your shoes, you want to be comforted, and chocolate chip cookies and banana splits and everything that comes on TV, you just use it for comfort. And before you know it, you've got this bloated belly and terrible feelings going on down there. And you go, what happened to me? Well, you were trying to comfort yourself. You should have let the Lord comfort you. He's the comforter, you know, instead of going to these escape mechanisms. Different people have different ways of escape using the arm of the flesh. And they're all listed here. Let's go on. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. They actually rebuilt a golden calf that they learned to worship in Egypt. Out there in the wilderness, when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments, they thought he was gone so long that he was dead. And so they forced Aaron, his brother, to build them a golden calf. And they just started getting into orgy type ways. They took off all their clothes, they started dancing around and all that stuff. And man, they were just looking for comfort, weren't they? And they began to get into idol worship. Boy, this new Mustang really comforts me. It's so beautiful red. And I get this red Mustang and I just, yeah, now life is worth it. And then it gets old, you know. What are you going to do? There's pleasure in sin for a season. And so they became idolaters, and some of them, and it says, neither let us commit fornication. Of course, that would be sex outside of marriage, sexual pleasure for getting away from the Lord, going back to Egypt. As some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. The earth opened up and 23,000 people fell in. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Actually, going against the Lord Jesus, going against the mind of God, and being bit by these serpents. And the Lord needed to have Moses build a bronze serpent for them to look at. And Jesus Christ said in John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up and draw all men to himself. Because as they looked at the bronze serpent, they were healed. As this plague came over them and they were killed. So looking back to Christ, looking back to him as deliverer, not Egypt, not the things of Egypt or the lust of the flesh. Neither murmur ye, this is an interesting one, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Complaining all the time. Oh man, sometimes we get into that, don't we? Hopefully it's less and less as we walk with Jesus. Just complaining about our whole life. Oh, you know what happened to me next? And after that, then this happened. And then after that, that happened. And then over this one, this time, it happened again. And again. It's like Murphy's Law. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. I'm always in trouble and always sad. And the person you're talking to says, I'll see you later. I've heard enough of this. Oh, man. Don't murmur. As some of them murmured. And were destroyed by the destroyer. Well, we had a very big experience with all of this on our vacation. Yes, here we go. You're going to get a vacation story. Ready for this? Oh, man. We went to the train station. Never knew what that was over there, that big bug off the freeway. Have you seen that thing? It's, you know, here's the pond and here's the big bug. And at night it lights up. I think, well, it must be important. It lights up at night. Thinking maybe it's a new arena of some kind, you know. I'm going to call it the bug. But no, it's actually a train station. Yeah, it's the new Amtrak train station. You probably all knew that. I was the only dumb one in all of Anaheim. You didn't know? All right, bro. We're together. High five. Yeah, there you go. So anyway, we're going down to Legoland, and you got to take the train to Oceanside, and then you get a taxi to Legoland. We stayed a couple nights in a Legoland hotel. Great thing to do. Pastor Brandon told me this is a good thing to do, so I did that. It was great. Anyway, so we're waiting at the train, and the train came, and the doors opened, and I got into the train, and my granddaughter got in with me. We had the twins with us, they're almost 10, and she got in the train with me. And I turned around to look at Sherry, who was right behind me, and the doors are closing. It was just terrifying. And then, as I'm in shock, you don't want me in a crisis. What I do is just freeze. And I see this horrible look on Sherry's face as the door closes in her face, and she's got Lukey, the other little grandchild. And the train starts moving, and before I knew it was going 82 miles an hour. And the engineer's got his pedal on the metal, clear to Oceanside. I mean, we stopped a few times. I was still in shock, you know. But all the way to Oceanside, and Sherry's left back there. And I had no cell phone. That's my fault. It's my fault. She keeps telling me. She preaches to me all the time, get a cell phone. You've got to get a cell phone. So maybe one of these days. But the thing is, the things that rise up inside, I had some choices to make. Because that was a stinking thing for that engineer to do, to leave the second half of my family standing on the train. And the conductor was yelling. He was standing right by Sherry going, "Yeah, whoa, stop!" To the engineer, "Yeah, pedal of a metal." So anyway, I got a conductor inside the train. I said, "You know, this would happen to me. My wife is still back there. Can you get grounded?" He says, "Yeah, we do 90-second stops here at Anaheim. He was late today, 15 minutes. He was in a hurry. So sorry, can't help you." Guy just goes off. I mean, you want to go crazy, you know? So then, all this is happening in seconds. I catch out of the side of my eye this little tiny innocent girl that's going to look to Poppy for help. And if Poppy goes bananas and starts yelling, and I'm going to take the guy to court, I'm going to call the president, you know, I'm going to get him fired, you know, all this kind of attitude. Ain't any good. That's called the arm of the flesh. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Amen? Got to make a good choice here. And I'm so glad she was there in her little silent despair to help me along. So anyway, I said, "Kylie, please sit down." She sat down, and we just sat there in silence, you know. I'm thinking, okay, what do I say? She just got her face turned out the window. And so after a while, I put my hand on her head. I said, "Kylie, are you okay?" She went, "Poppy, I'm worried. I'm really worried." Yeah, what do you do with that, you know? Well, you know what you do. We go to the real deliverer, don't we? I said, "Kylie, let's pray." And so we prayed together. It was a beautiful prayer. And you know what God did with that separation? It was about 3 hours separation. The train came 2 hours later for Sherry and brought her down to Oceanside. But Kylie and I had a date. And I only get to see her twice a year. And it was just her and I. And she taught me every single game she knows. And we had such a blast. It was so fun. Went to Burger King and had a little date dinner. It was perfect. And I saw God's hand and God's deliverance and God's special meaning in the whole deal. And Sherry had the same experience with Lukey, the other twin. Lukey said to her, "Nani, you have the devices and I have the brains." He actually said that to her. And we've been laughing about it ever since. I thought you would too. But it was incredible. And it was just such a great, great time. So we choose the way of the Lord. Amen? Got to go with the Lord. Egypt's not going to help you. Going back to Egypt is no fun. It's no good for you. And it does no good for you. We got to stay with the Lord. Got to stay close to Him. He's the real deliverer. He makes it turn out right. Well, we immediately had another experience. I'll just show you one more story with you, but this was really wonderful. We got in the taxi cab to go to Legoland, and I started talking to the driver. I was sitting up front with him. The kids and Sherry were in the back seat. And you have kids? Yeah, wow, I got kids. My kids are graduating from college, and they want to be doctors. I said, oh, that's so awesome. And, you know, after just talking a while, I said, well, you know, are you guys spiritual people? He said, yes, I'm a Muslim. And I went silent and just going, And I just felt that in the back. Sherry's laughing because same thing happened to her and the kids, you know. I mean, these little kids, all they know, you know, about Muslims is they kill us, you know. So they just went silent. Muslim, he's a Muslim, you know. And Sherry's going straight to prayer. Oh, Lord, oh, God. Show him what to say now, you know. What do you do with this? And, you know, God was so good because, you know, I knew after a while what the Lord wanted. You know what he wanted. He wanted me to tell him about Jesus. And so I started talking a little bit about Jesus, and it was the neatest thing that I did not go with the arm of the flesh to just keep silent, keep still, get the heck out of this guy's cab as fast as possible, protect my children, you know, all of that business, the arm of the flesh. But is trust God and do God's work. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. And so I just mentioned Jesus to get into the conversation, and he said, oh, yes. He said, I know Jesus. He said, my dad is a Muslim. My mother is Greek Orthodox Christian. And he began to unload his heart and his whole story about how he used to go to church with his mother before she died and had learned to love Jesus. And that he just goes by Muslim to respect his father. And started talking that way. And I'm going, wow, Lord, this is really unique. This is a unique situation. What do I do with this? But the Lord just brought me back. It's all about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. And I just said, yes, Jesus died for our sins on the cross. And as we accept him into our lives, he forgives our sins and gives us a brand new life to be able to live the way he'd have us live, the abundant living. And you know, he just agreed with that. And we just became really good friends. It was awesome. And Lukey then started piping up. Smartest kid you ever saw. He started talking to the driver. And it was just amazingly wonderful. And what turned to might have been an iceberg, non-deliverance, horrible situation of the flesh, you know, just this kind of thing. It became this kind of thing. And, you know, you'd have to have been there, but it was just the Spirit started moving, and we became friends, so much so that we called him up to come pick us up from Legoland at the end so we could fellowship again. You know, it was blessed and beautiful. Everything George ever taught me, I totally forgot. I wish George was here, you know, but he wasn't there, and he just had to go with the Lord. And having to go with the Lord is always the best answer, isn't it? He's our deliverer. He's our rock and our fortress. He's our deliverer. And as we depend upon him, we are delivered. And we find our escape. For we are tempted. All of us are tempted in so many different ways. But the Lord does not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. But with every temptation, he will provide a way of escape. And the escape is awesome, and it's beautiful. And those guys in Ashdod needed to remember that. And the people in Israel needed to remember that. And God showed him again, stand still and see the salvation of your God, for God will fight for you and you shall be at peace. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's pray together. So, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your deliverances. Lord, we see them everyday living. It's just, Lord, thank you, Father, as you help us to make the right choices. And, Lord, you always go before us in your power, your authority, and your beauty. And so, Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would touch our hearts this morning in a very individual, personal way about these things. Thank you, Lord. And so, yes, we do want to have a time of silence now. I know we do this from time to time. I want to give you some time to just examine your own souls. And I will also with you. And we want to just allow God to speak to our hearts about those areas of living that need to be turned over to that only person that can help. The only being in the universe that can really help you. And those escape mechanisms that beat against us all the time can be shunned, just turned away from. Just go with God. And so let's go ahead and just spend some time in silence to talk to the Lord and let him just minister to your heart. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you so very much now. We know that man looks on the outward appearance, but you look on the heart. And so, Lord, help our hearts, Lord. Help them, Father. Lord, lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And thank you for the promise that you said you would do that. So we bless you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Prayer room's open for you. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, come accept him, follow him, experience the abundant life that he can bring. As you give up your sin, he gives you his righteousness. Always there for you. That's what our brother just said. Beautiful, beautiful. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God.